accessible by English Hedgerow, florist, caterer, and eclectic bistro, serving lunch Monday through Friday, located at University and Lincoln Avenue, Urbana. English Hedgerow delivers distinctive bouquets, plants, gift baskets, and gourmet catering throughout the Champaign-Urbana area.
It's 12:30. You're tuned to the Afternoon Magazine. I'm Celeste Quinn. Henry Frain is our technical director today. Joining me in the studio, Tom Rogers. He has our report of AM 580 News.
Thanks, Celeste. Good afternoon. A former board president with Champaign County's Urban League says the recent closure of the agency leaves a huge hole in terms of addressing human rights concerns. But Lorene Cowan says it should also present an opportunity for a more diverse organization that reflects a shift in attitudes about race. The Urban League closed Friday after 45 years. The agency has been the subject of state and federal investigations, and it's accumulated about $850,000 in debt. Cowan is the director of affirmative action at the U of I, and she was on the Urban League President's Council the last couple of years. She says clients of the agency will miss its independence.
They knew that they could call upon the Urban League. They knew where to go. It was the only civil rights organization that had staff in our community, that had staff to actually serve as an advocate for people. The NAACP is here, but they don't have staff. They have all volunteers.
Cowan says the recent election of Barack Obama as president shows community leaders should set up a similar agency that judges more on intellect and not so much on race. She says other areas handled by the Urban League, including requests for assistance on power bills, housing problems, and job training, should not experience problems as those programs make transitions to other areas. Meanwhile, Cowan says Urban League advisors are doing the best they can to move the 9 employees into other positions. University of Illinois police have served search warrants on the home, computer, and email accounts of a former gymnastics coach who's being investigated after a video camera was discovered in a locker room. Sergeant Tom Geis says investigators are going over the information they recovered. They hope to turn the information over to Champaign County prosecutors this week. John Valdez helped train U.S. gymnasts at the Beijing Olympics. He resigned from the Illini coaching staff last month, citing personal issues, including a pending drunken driving charge in Wisconsin. Valdez is scheduled to appear in court today there. His lawyer in the drunken driving case hasn't returned a call seeking comment. Attorney Lance Northcutt, who represents Valdez in the camera case, declined to comment today. The city block in front of the former Metropolitan Building in downtown Champaign will be closed to traffic by the end of the day. A fire department official says an engineering firm's inspection over the weekend recommended that people be kept away from the surviving building next door. That means Neal Street will be closed as well as the sidewalks on either side of the street. 10 days ago, the Metropolitan Building was destroyed by fire. It heavily damaged the adjacent law firm, leaving the wall connecting the two buildings structurally unsound, according to the engineer. As a backlog of unpaid bills continues to mount in Illinois, lawmakers are looking at how to dig themselves out of a financial hole. As Sean Crawford reports, some say a tax hike might be necessary.
Illinois is having trouble paying for what it spends, and that is posing a real threat to state services. The controller last week proposed short-term borrowing to reduce payment delays to vendors, but at least a few of the top Democrats in the Illinois Senate want a more permanent fix. Senator James Claiborne of East St. Louis says it's time the state began considering a tax increase.
We've got to assure the public, I think more than anything, that any enhancement is not used to expand government, but to meet our current obligations, as well as to make sure that we shore up our pension obligations and make sure we're paying our medical bills and our providers on time.
Claiborne won't say which tax he thinks should be raised. While a tax hike could gather some support in the legislature, Governor Rod Blagojevich has promised to veto such a measure if it reaches his desk. I'm Sean Crawford.
Big Steel in Indiana is making some history, and not in a way that bodes well for workers. As Michael Puente reports, the recent economic downturn has one steel giant cutting its workforce.
It's something that hasn't been felt in the local steel industry since the 1980s, layoffs. U.S. Steel is laying off 675 union workers in the United States and Canada, or about 3% of its workforce in North America. 58 of those employees worked in Gary. Jim Robinson is the district director for the United Steelworkers Union. He blames it on weak demand for steel products for cars, appliances, and in construction.
It's no secret that we're in a very serious economic situation, and that operating levels in the steel industry have fallen precipitously.
Meanwhile, steel giant ArcelorMittal hasn't announced layoffs at its plants in East Chicago, Burns Harbor, or Riverdale, Illinois, but did recently ask 500 employees to take voluntary layoffs. I'm Michael Puente.
The troubles in the steel industry extended to another Northwest Indiana plant just today. Union officials say they've been notified that about 110 employees of Beta Steel's hot strip rolling mill in Portage will be temporarily laid off. Beta is owned by a Russian company. Andre Joseph of the International Longshoremen's Association says the company notified the union Friday the layoffs were to begin today. Joseph says the company cited a weak demand for steel. He says the 110 maintenance and production workers will be laid off for about 2 weeks, and then the entire plant will shut down from mid-December until early January. Our next report of AM 580 News is at 2:30. I'm Tom Rogers.
Support for today's broadcast comes from Bah Humbug Productions, presenting their second annual production of Charles Dickens' A Christmas Carol at Parkland College. Adaptation by Nick Schneider with original music by Tim Schirmer. Performances are December 5th through 21st. Ticket information and reservations at 351-2528.